The social grants payment debacle was one of the issues that dominated the parliamentary agenda for much of 2017, and still the matter is far from being resolved. 2018 is likely to start much like 2017 did, a race against the clock. Only the stakes are even higher. The Constitutional Court is unlikely to be as forgiving as it was in March when it allowed the Social Security Agency, SASSA, to continue using the services of the highly controversial Cash Paymaster Services. So how did the agency get into this fix when it's known since 2014 that it had to make another plan for the payment of social grants? Well, Social Development Minister Batebile Dlamini told the Constitutional Court in March that it was only late in 2015 that the agency realised it wouldn't be able to take over the social grants payment system. She dodged parliamentary meetings of two committees for most of February. When she did eventually turn up, this was her explanation to Parliament's Standing Committee on Public Accounts.
We went into the Portfolio Committee and accounted there. And I feel that that is the place where we are going to account.
And so Dlamini got off to a really bad start, raising the ire of MPs across the political spectrum, particularly the opposition. She left her officials to field the tough questions, and with less than 2 months before they were due to meet the deadline for the takeover of the social grants payment system, it became apparent they were far off the mark. SASSA's executive manager, Rapakhle Ramakgoba, explaining the situation to the Social Development Committee on the 1st of February.
The only thing that would make us to survive is to go to court, approach the court as a matter of urgency and request extension of validity.
She was backed up by SASSA's then chief executive officer, Tokozani Magwaza.
If you've got to choose between paying the grants and irregular, and if the country is going to ban on the 1st of April and the irregular, I chose the country not to ban.
All the while, Dlamini remained defiant and insisted there was no crisis and that the outrage was, quote, self-serving propaganda and political grandstanding from the opposition.
There is no crisis at SASSA. All eligible social grant beneficiaries will receive their money on 1st April and beyond.
She even blamed the media for sowing panic among beneficiaries.
They represented their bosses. And therefore, you could see in South Africa that our agenda is still driven by the monopoly capital.
As the deadline drew closer, President Jacob Zuma and former Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan stepped into the fray to calm the waters and assure the country's more than 17 million grant beneficiaries that they would get their money. Zuma even defended Dlamini in the National Assembly amid growing calls for her head.
If you suspect that somebody is going to fail or make a mistake, you must punish that person before it happens. Just punish democracy.
And so Dlamini soldiered on, while her Director General of Social Development, Zane Dangor, desperately tried to pick up the pieces after Magwaza was booked off sick amid reports that he had resigned. But after only 4 months in the job, Dangor suddenly called it quits, amid swirling rumours that, like Magwaza, he too was bumping heads with Dlamini. Eventually, Dlamini had to concede that SASSA was not going to meet its court-determined deadlines. And with their tails between their legs, SASSA went back to court with less than a month to the March 31st deadline, begging its indulgence to continue using Cash Paymaster services for another year.
We underestimated the work that we were supposed to do. Taking over payments is a lot of work. You have to have your own systems. Because even if you say banks must pay, they don't have the facility. They get it from other companies. So if you want to deal with paying, what I'm saying now, I got from the experts. It's not a thumbs up.
It was revealed that despite almost 2 years of work to come up with a takeover plan, they had failed to do so in time, yet had been paid at least 43 million rand. Worse still, Treasury found the appointment to have been highly irregular, and so Magwaza showed them the door. This would only intensify the tensions simmering under the surface between Magwaza and Dlamini. Only 2 weeks after cancelling this contract, Magwaza himself left the institution in July under yet undisclosed circumstances. The official line was that a mutual agreement had been reached, but it was an open secret that he too could not see eye to eye with Dlamini. With Dangle and Magwaza now both out of the picture, Dlamini was free to make a new, more compliant interim appointment for a SASSA chief executive as the agency plotted the way forward. But the departures of Dangle and Magwaza were not without consequences. Soon after quitting, Dangle hit back at Dlamini, filing an affidavit with the Constitutional Court saying she was to blame for the crisis and that she had undermined him and belittled staff who tried to find a solution to the payment crisis. Magwaza, meanwhile, had signed an undertaking with the post office only days before leaving office for it to play a crucial role in the grant payment takeover. But Dlamini appeared undeterred by the loss of two key individuals in just 3 months, even after the court recommended an inquiry into her conduct. It will have to determine in the new year whether she should be held liable in her personal capacity for the grants debacle. Dlamini, meanwhile, recruited Pearl Bengu from SASSA's KZN office to take over from Magwaza in an interim capacity in August. From the onset, Bengu did not endear herself to Parliament. With only 6 months left to finding a solution to the grant payment problem, this is what she had to say.
SASSA doesn't have the requisite skills to be able to embark on a change program of this magnitude.
And then it became Bengu's turn to dodge Parliament. She failed to show up to two different committee meetings in October, saying she had no progress to report. Her no-show came at a time when an independent panel of experts filed a scathing report with the Constitutional Court, saying the agency would not meet next year's court deadline. The ANC's Sibongile Tsoleli.
We are heading for another disaster. And, Chair, our integrities are at stake here.
The IFP's Liesel van der Merwe.
Today they've made a mockery of us by sending us this letter, therefore disregarding our jobs, what we are supposed to be doing.
Fed up, the two committees joined forces and Bengu eventually pitched. She told the committee that the post office was not up to the job of taking over the grant payment system from CPS and that again SASSA would be looking to go out on tender for part of the contract. This assessment, she said, was based on a due diligence review by the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. But the DA's Tim Brauterseth was not buying her story.
You are misleading Parliament, and we can prove it, about the abilities of SAPA. And you're doing it deliberately in order to say SAPA can't do this, so we need to find somebody else who can.
By November, SASSA was 2 months behind its own deadline to start testing a new payment system, and the gloves were off as the battle between SASSA and the Post Office intensified. Post Office Chief Executive Mark Barnes refused to accept the contract offered to him by SASSA and threatened to revert to the offer made to him by Magwaza before he left office.
We have a bank which is fully functional and capable of delivering all of these things. So I would find great difficulty in the logic that supports us not being intimately involved as an integrated part of the solution.
Treasury was roped in to try and broker a deal at the 11th hour, but that came to naught. That's when Parliament said it had had enough of the runaround from SASSA and it was high time the Interministerial Committee took greater control. Minister in the Presidency, Jeff Radebe, was summoned to appear before the committees. He promised that his Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation would work around the clock to broker a deal, effectively sidelining Dlamini and her officials. Radebe returned to Parliament 10 days later with the outline of a hybrid model plan that included the post office and commercial banks.
We have one plan, and that plan is to implement the court order and the directives of the Constitutional Court. That is our plan.
In early December, an agreement was finally reached that gives the Post Office a greater role to play than was initially offered to it. In documents filed with the Constitutional Court, it's been revealed that SASSA will pay the Post Office 2.2 billion rand over the next year to disburse grants. But the pressure is only now set to really take hold. Major components of the plan, including the development of an IT system, is not likely to be effected before the end of March. The data of millions of beneficiaries have to be added to the system, new beneficiaries have to be signed up, and new bank cards have to be printed for all of them. Agreements also have to be made with commercial banks for the payment of grants directly into bank accounts. And then there's the issue of cash payments in areas where payment facilities are scarce. The two parliamentary committees will be looking to interrogate the feasibility of the plan, the tight deadlines and the cost estimates in the new year. There's still the matter of Treasury probing the conduct of SASSA officials to determine whether anyone should be held liable for the hold-up in reaching a new grant payment plan. Minister Batabile Dlamini is also not off the hook and still has a court inquiry to face. And so, in a repeat of scenes at the start of the 2017 parliamentary year, 2018 is most likely to see the issue once again being placed top of the agenda when committees resume their work in late January.